Blog Talk Radio.
Oh.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Been a good few days. We haven't been able to get here because of the system, but we are grateful. We're still fighting the cold that is really attacking my sinuses, but we are here in the land of the living. We are not complaining. We are just giving God praise because he is worthy. We are looking forward to traveling in a little while. In another month or so, we'll be traveling. For about 4 weeks, we'll be going away. So we are excited that the Lord has blessed us. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for your omnipotent presence, for your omnipresence, your omniscient presence. Thank you for your mercy and grace, O God. Thank you for forgiving us. O God, extending your love and mercy towards us. Lord, we thank you for healing our bodies from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, from the inside out. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for never giving us what we deserve, but always giving us what we need. You are a merciful God, a loving God, a sovereign Lord. You are the great I am, the lily of the valley, the early morning star, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who sits high and sees low, the one who pardons, the one who forgives, and the one who loves. We ask, Father God, today that you help us to see and hear and to speak this word, O God, as you have given us, shown us to go back and teach this word. Lord, we recognize we are not a preacher, but we are a teacher. And we teach as you lead us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Well, this morning we are going to be talking about the subject matter. Prayer is a gift of power from God. Prayer is a gift of power from God. And we want to start in this book of 2 Chronicles. If you hear me breathing loud, it's not because anything. It's just my sinuses are pretty much stopped up. So let's go to 2 Chronicles and verse 14. You all know these scriptures, but, you know, this is where the Lord takes us back so that we can hear what the Spirit is saying. 2 Chronicles. And we're going to start at verse 1, 2 Chronicles. We like to teach the whole rule, or the whole scroll, however you want to say it. But we like to teach the whole word of God. There's no point of picking out what sounds good or feel good or what you believe the people know or we're familiar with. A lot of preachers preach that. They take one verse or two verses and they add their stuff to it. And they hoop and holler, shout and scream and jump and roll on the floor because it makes them look good. But what about the hearing of the word? Do the people get to the hearing of the word to be convicted by the Spirit of the word to get closer to God? Because that should be our objective. Here in this text, the Bible says, and when Solomon finished praying, then fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of Yahweh filled the house. And the priests were not able to go into the house of God, Yahweh, for the glory of God, Yahweh, had filled the house. When all the Israelites saw the fire came down, and the glory of Yahweh upon the house, they knelt down with their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and gave thanks to Yahweh, for he is God, for his loyal love is everlasting. Now, we see here that it wasn't King Solomon. It wasn't the people, but it was the power of God. Prayer moved the heart of God to release his power in the presence of the people, that the people could recognize that he is Yahweh, that he is the powerful, omnipotent God. The people saw it. And the people reacted to the presence of the Lord. Then the house of the Lord was ready to be dedicated. God responds to Solomon's prayer of dedication. You see, when you move in this type of way, when you show God how much you love him, hallelujah, by seeking his face, God will show up. Only would God show up, but God would do things that would surprise you, surprise us, that would move us closer to him. Stay right there in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Go to chapter 6 for a short minute, a brief minute. Let's go to chapter 6 Let's look at verse 12-42. Then Solomon stood before the altar of God before all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands. For Solomon had made a platform of bronze, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, and 3 cubits high, and placed it in the midst of the outer court. And he stood upon it, then knelt down on his knees before the whole assembly of Israel, and spread out his hands to heaven. And he said, O Yahweh, God of Israel, there is none like you, O God, in the heavens and on the earth, keeping the covenant and loyal love with your servants who walk before you with all their heart, that you have kept for your servant David, my father, what you spoke to him. You spoke with your mouth, and by your hand you have fulfilled it on this day. And now, O Yahweh, God of Israel, keep for your servant David, my father, what you have spoken to him, saying, you shall not lack a man to sit on the throne of Israel for me. If you only your sons keep their way to walk in my laws as you have walked before me. And now, O Yahweh, God of Israel, let your word that you have spoken to your servant David be confirmed. Now see, Solomon begin to talk to the Lord. He is praying, because that's what praying is, having a conversation with the Lord. And he began to remind the Lord of what the Lord had promised his father David, that his soul would not be lacking one of his family sitting on the throne as a king, as long as they walk according to the way of the Lord. But will God indeed dwell with humankind upon the earth? Look, the heavens and the highest heavens cannot contain you. Surely, then this house that I have built will not contain you. But turn to the prayer of your servant and to his plea, O Yahweh, my God, to heaven, to the pleading and to the prayer that your servant's praying before you, that your eyes may behold, may be open day and night to this house, to the place that you have promised to place your name there, that you may hear the prayer that your servant has prayed to this place, and listen to the pleas of your servant and your people Israel when they pray towards this place, that you yourself might hear from the place of your dwelling, from the heavens, that you might hear and forgive. If a man sins against his neighbor and makes him swear an oath and comes with an oath before your altar in this house, then may you yourself hear from the heavens and act and judge your servants to repay the guilty by bringing his way upon his head, and to vindicate the righteous by giving to him according to his righteousness. And if your people Israel are defeated before an enemy because they have sinned against you, and they repent and confess your name and pray and plead before you in this house, then may you yourself hear from the heavens and forgive the sin of your people, Israel, and again bring them back to the land that you have gave them and to their ancestors. When the heavens are stopped up and there is no rain because they have sinned against you and they pray to this place and confess your name and turn back from their sin, you humble them, then may you yourself hear from the heavens and forgive their sins and your servants and your people Israel. When you teach them the good way in which they should walk, and give rain upon your land that you have given to your people as an inheritance. If there is a famine in the land, if there is disease, black mildew, locust, and caterpillar, and if happens that his enemy lays siege to him in the land of his gates, any kind of plague, any kind of disease, then any prayer, any plea that is made by any person and by all your people Israel, each one who knows his own affliction and his own anguish, and who pleads out his hands, and who spreads out his hands to this house, then may you yourself hear from heaven, your dwelling place. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Then any prayer and any plea that is made by any person and by Israel, each one who knows his own affliction and his own anguish, and who spreads out his hands to this place, then may you yourself hear from the heavens, your dwelling place, and forgive and give to each according to his own ways. Since you alone know the heart of the children of humankind, that they may fear you and walk in your ways all the days that they are alive upon the face of the land that you have given to our ancestors. And also, with respect to the foreigners, he who is not of your people Israel, but comes from a distant land, for the sake of your great name and your powerful land and outstretched arm, when he comes and prays to this house, then may you yourself hear from the heavens, from your dwelling place, and do according to all that the foreigner asks of you, so that all people of earth will know of your name and fear you. Hallelujah, glory to God. As do your people Israel, and that they may know that your name possesses this house that I have built. When your people go out to battle against their enemies, according to the way that you have sent them, and they pray to you towards this city that you have chosen and the house that I have built for your name, then may you hear their prayer and their pleas from the heavens and uphold their case. When they sin against you, for there is no person who does not sin, and when you become angry with them and placed them before their enemy, that they carried them away as captives to a land far or near. But if they repent in the land where they were taken captive and repent and beg you for mercy in the land, saying, we have sinned and acted perversely and done wickedly, and we return to you. And we return to you with their whole hearts and with all their inmost being in the land of their captivity, where they took them captive. And if they pray towards their land that you have given to their ancestors and the city that you have chosen and to the house that I have built for your name, then may you hear their prayer and their pleas from the heavens, from your dwelling place, and uphold their case, and forgive your people who sin against you. Now, oh my God, please let your eyes be open and your ears attentive to the prayer of this place. And now arise, O Yahweh God, to your resting place. And you and the ark of your strength, O Yahweh God, let the priests be clothed with salvation, and let your holy ones rejoice in your goodness. O Yahweh God, turn away the face of your anointed one. Remember the loyal love of your servant David. Now, Solomon went in so deep before the Lord. And as you notice in the prayer in chapter 6, we're going to go back to chapter 7. In the prayer in chapter 6, Solomon did not pray for himself, interceding for the people Israel, even in their presence. And he was interceding for their future, when they would be in captivity away from God because of their sin and the time of rejecting of who God is. Solomon was interceding for them. Most of the pastors today, all they're thinking about their own needs, their own wants when they go before the Lord. They want to get a bigger sanctuary. They want to get bigger homes, bigger house, bigger cars, and they want their children to prosper and all the stuff they talk about. But Solomon's interceding for God's people. He is praying. This is what interceding is. It's praying, talking to God, having a deep conversation with God. He's concerned about what God is concerned about. How many of us today, as preachers and teachers, are lay people, are concerned about God's people? Matter of fact, the same people that they minister to are the same people they talk about. They minister to the people, take the tithes and offerings from the people, and then they gossip with their husbands, with their wives, about the same people that they minister to. These are God's people. But sometimes the people forget that they're God's people that they're talking about. It's one of the reasons that I really don't care too much for church buildings. I really don't care too much for church buildings. Because the pastors, the bishops, the apostles, and the evangelists and teachers that are the heads over the churches, over the buildings, they end up gossiping about the same people that they minister to. A lot of them do. Not all of them, but a lot of them do. They gossip about the same people that they preach to. The same people that they take their tithes in their offerings, they gossip about. The Bible says here, glory to God, let's go back and work this time. We got a lot of time. Let's work some of this out. Here in chapter 6, we start at verse 12. And here, Solomon prayed here parallel with 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 22 to 23. You can study that on your own time. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 22 to 53. Write these scriptures down. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures as I go. Verse 13, a platform of bronze or an altar, you can say. Solomon built this raised platform that he could stand up. This is one of the reasons that we have an altar, so that we can stand up, not making us bigger than the people, but it tell the people that you are in control. You are God's officer. Hallelujah. So you are above looking out on them, not making yourself superior to them, but you are God's officer. So the bronze, this verse does not appear in 1 Kings, which describes Solomon standing before the altar of Yahweh, 1 Kings 8 and 22. Nothing is known of this platform, which might have been used only for this occasion. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 4. It probably is a coincidence that the platform's dimension of the bronze altar in Exodus chapter 27 and verse 1. Then Solomon kneeled down on his knees, a position of humility. Solomon, king of Israel, publicly shows proper respect for God. We have so many pastors, I say this all the time, that they don't bow. They don't kneel down at the altar and pray to God before the congregation. They look like they are superior. You know, they want the people to come to the altar for them to lay hands, put oil, and pray for the people. But, you know, what we should do as pastors and leaders is go down on our knees. Then the people will once come to the altar where a pastor is on the knees and he's the pastor, she's the pastor. We ought to go to the altar too. You see that? Glory to God. But we don't do that, because we put ourselves up, we make ourselves look like we're more than we are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, last scripture we give you was Exodus 27 and 1. And we're talking about today, prayer is a gift of power from God. Prayer is a gift of power from God. Solomon knelt down before God to show that God was the one that's powerful. And he was humble before God. Like you, O God, echoes David's prayer of thanksgiving after God promised to establish his throne forever. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 20. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. And verse 20, we have to learn, as ministers of the gospel, we have to learn how to be humble before God. That's what we need. David had made a covenant with God. God, 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 23. Now, when you're reading 1 Kings chapter 8, you're going to read chapter 8, verse 22 to 53. Read the whole thing. Hallelujah. Loyal love. The Hebrew word used here, shesed or sheed, indicates God's faithful love. Exodus 34 and 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and 8. Exodus chapter 34 and verses 6. 2 Chronicles verse 1, chapter 1 and 8. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 8. What you spoke to him, Solomon reminded God of what he has spoken to David in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 24. Here in verses 15 of 2 Chronicles chapter 6, he said that you have kept for your servant David, my father, what you spoke to him. He reminded God. God is a promise-keeping God. Hallelujah. Your sons, the Hebrew terminology can refer to David's 17 sons, or to all of his descendants in this context. The broader meaning is probably intended for a list of David's descendants in 1 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1 to 24. Hallelujah. Walk in my law. God, when we go to God and say, we are presenting ourselves before God and making petitions before God, this is what God responds, how God responds to us, to walk in his law, walk according to his commandments, walk according to his standards. Walk in my law. The parallel phrase in this, in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 25, refers to walking before God with no explicit mention of the law. But we must walk before him in a way that glorifies him, that people will know that we are his servants. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 18. But will God indeed dwell with humankind upon the earth? Look, the heavens and the highest heavens tell you, surely then this house that I have built will not contain you. Solomon said that the heavens of heavens cannot contain God's presence. It's too awesome. And even the house that Solomon built for him will not be able to contain him. He said, cannot. Even though the temple was considered God's dwelling, it only represents his presence. Solomon recognized that no building can contain God's great. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verses 6. To hearken to the pleading, the Hebrew word used here, Rinna, R-I-N-N-A-H, can refer to a lament or a cry of praise. Solomon may have both in mind. Solomon may have both in mind as he petitioned God to hear all praise offered towards the temple. Kings chapter 8, verse 29. That you yourself might hear from the place of your dwelling, from the heavens. As Solomon indicated in Second Chronicles chapter 6, verse 18, the temple was only a symbol of God's dwelling place, an earthly representation of God's heavenly temple. Psalm 11 and verses 4. Psalm 11 and verses 4. By praying towards the temple, the people were directing their prayers towards the symbol of God's presence. However, Solomon acknowledged that God would answer from heaven. 6 verse 23. And judge your servants. Solomon portrayed God as a sovereign king who judges his people. Psalm 9 and 8. Psalm 9 and verses 8. They have sinned against you. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 33. Now, one of the things that Solomon says in this prayer, and that there is no one that does not sin. But one of the things that he made very prevalent before us is that God is faithful, and God is willing to forgive everyone that repenteth. Solomon says this in chapter 6 of Second Chronicles. God is willing to forgive anyone and everyone confess their sin, humble themselves. Hallelujah. God will hold back the rain because of sin. God will hold back prosperity because of sin. I want you to understand this. God will hold back the rain because of the sinfulness of God. And the rain represents prosperity. When you have rain, what you do? You have crops. You have produce. You have vegetation. You have water to wash your clothes. You can do a lot of stuff when it's raining. Without rain, people suffer. The ground becomes parched. There's no vegetation. There's no water. You see now, even in the Middle East, where the Euphrates River is drying up, and the Euphrates River supply water for so many different countries. Just one river. And we see that because of this river is drying up, that many countries are suffering. Do you hear me? And all of this is happening because of sin. People have rejected God. You see that? They reject God. So God has held back some of the things that the people need. And when we see that God is holding back, we find out people start to go to their knees and they begin to pray. They begin to seek God. Solomon says, there is no rain. One of the consequences of breaking the law, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16 and 17. When we break God's law, we have to face the consequences. People want to sin and still want to be blessed. You see what I'm saying? But in order to get blessed, you have to repent. Turn from your sin. Confess your name refers to recognizing God's sovereignty. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. May you yourself hear from heavens. Hear from the heavens. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 verse 21. The locust and caterpillar insects commonly associated with the destruction of agriculture. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 37. According to all his ways, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 23. We have to follow after God's way. It's simple. Sometimes we are trying to figure out how to do things and how things should happen. But we must follow God's way. You hear me? Glory to God. Solomon even pleaded for the foreigners. Foreigners meaning people that were not Israelites. They were not Israelites. They were not Jewish people. Solomon extended his prayer to include foreigners. The Hebrew word used here, nokri, indicates someone who lives outside Israel and visits. The inclusion of foreigners into God's blessing will be so that God will be known throughout the earth. Verses 33, 6 and 33, 6 and 34, that you have chosen. Glory to God. God chosen people. There is no person who does not sin. 1 Kings chapter 8 and 46. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and 36. There's no person that does not sin. Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 36. And 1 Kings chapter 8. And 46. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 37. In the land of their captivity, this section of Solomon's prayer undoubtedly held special significance for the chroniclers, audience of returned exile. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, chapter 6, 2 Chronicles, hallelujah, glory to God. 2 Chronicles to 6, this is so powerful, glory to God. And verse 2, if they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives into a land far off or near. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly. If they return to thee with all their heart and with their soul, in the land of their captivity, whether they have carried them captive and prayed toward their land, which thou givest unto their fathers, and towers the city which thou hast chosen, towers the house which I have built for thy name, then hear thou from the heavens, and even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. Hallelujah, glory to God. Solomon cried out for the people.
And this is amazing. As you look into this, deep into this word, we're talking about prayer. Prayer is a gift of power from God. And we are working from 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and 2 Chronicles chapter 6. There's a lot to this. So we are going to get back into this, the Lord know, next week if we have the same opportunity by the Spirit of the Lord, if we are still in the land of the living. Solomon began to not only pray for himself, and this is what blessed me in this. And Solomon says something that is very intricate right here. And he told, speak to the Lord. And he said to the Lord that there's no one that sinneth not. In other words, he was saying to the Lord, even I, Solomon, sin. But he says, if the people were called out to God from wherever they are in repentance, he asked God to answer their prayer and to forgive them, especially when they're praying towards the house which he built for God's dwelling, for God's name. If they pray towards that house. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 36. There is no person who does not sin. 1 Kings chapter 8 verse 46, the same verse. We got to understand this, because a lot of times we as preachers, and preachers all over the world, bishops and archbishops and all these chief apostles, and they all know how to preach with great tenacity. But the Bible says we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And Solomon said, there's no one that sinneth not. But we got to get the mindset that we can go back to God, because he is able, he is faithful, and he's willing to forgive anyone that called upon his name in repentance. He says here, 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 39. He said, then hear thou from the heavens, even from thy dwelling place, their prayer and their supplications, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people which have sinned against thee. A lot of times, a lot of people don't realize. They think, well, we commit adultery against our husband or wives, or we steal from somebody. But we don't recognize that we're committing adultery against God. We're sinning against God. You know, I remember when I was in the world, I was running here and running there with that woman. My wife was home, and I was doing, because I was a drug addict and doing all this stuff. And then I was in the church, and I was still slipping and dipping. But, you know, I wasn't sold out. I was young in the church. And I remember one day I was praying, and I heard, you have sinned against me. And I couldn't stop weeping. I couldn't stop crying. I mean, you know, the people say you're crying profusely. I was continually crying. I could not stop. Because all them times that I was sinning, walking in full-blown sin, let me just clear my throat. Excuse me. Still have this cold that is going away. We just made some onion syrup, and it's been breaking it up like crazy. But I was living a sinful lifestyle, going to church, singing in the choir, singing in the praise team. I had a good voice then. But I didn't know. I thought if I go home and say, honey, I'm sorry, I was doing this lifestyle and out there, and didn't explain the full thing to her. But I said, well, look, I'm going to live faithful to you. But I didn't realize that my sin was really against God. And that's why I wasn't experiencing the blessing. I wasn't experiencing the anointing. See, the anointing is blessing. Hallelujah. The anointing is blessing. People think blessing is just getting money in the bank and getting a raise on your job or a better car, a better home or something like that. No, the anointing is blessing upon your life. But I realized that I wasn't anointed. I didn't have the I wasn't anointed. I look at other brothers. I could see that they can feel the presence of the Lord. I wasn't feeling it. And when the Lord dropped that in my spirit, I just repented. I just fell out. I fell out and repented, cried, and asked the Lord to change my heart. Asked the Lord to change my mindset. Asked the Lord to take away things from me that was keeping me away from him. I thought they were doing things for me. But I begin to pray. I begin to seek God for his face, not for his hands. I begin to seek his face and not his hands. And as I was seeking his face, I began getting his hands. He began blessing me. And Solomon says here, he says, look, he says, now, my God, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. So you can make some praise in the place, even in the house that you call God house, but it's your house, because that's the first thing you tell people, this is my church, these are my people. Most of the pastors, that's what they say, my church, my people. They don't say God's house, God's people. But Solomon says, now, my God, let I beseech thee, I'm pleading to thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made. Look, open your eyes to what's going on here, Lord. Lord, I want you to see what's happening in this house. I want you to hear what's happening in this house. I want you to pay attention to what's happening in this house towards you, Lord. He began to cry out for the people. And then it says, now therefore arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in thy goodness. O Lord God, turn not away thy face. Turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David thy servant. He began to bring back to God his promise to his father. If you go back, and this is such a powerful, powerful prayer here, chapter 6 and 7 of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. It's so powerful. Solomon began to bring everything, all of God's promises. A lot of times we want to go tell God some stuff that we conjure up in our thoughts. Instead of bringing God's word back to him, and this is what Solomon did. Hallelujah. He brought it back to God. Everything that God had promised David, his father, he brought back to God. God cannot deny himself. His word is himself. We got to get back in this mindset of taking it back to him in prayer. He said, if I called, he would answer. Lord, I'm calling out to you for help, for mercy, for grace, for compassion. I'm not calling out here for riches. The woman at the well said, look. Why are you calling on me? Why are you asking me to give you water? And Jesus said, if you know who I was that asking for the water, you would ask him for water. He began to talk to her, pointed to answers that she gave him. Next thing you know, the woman said, I got to go. You got to be a prophet or the Messiah that we've been waiting for. You got to be the Christ. I got to go. I got to tell everybody about you. She forgot her water pots. She wanted to go back and tell. We got something inside of us that we need to tell. But we need to tell to God. Now, at this point, the two versions of the prayer diverse. The chronicler concluded by having Solomon recite Psalm 132 and verse 8 to 9 to 10. Second Chronicles 6:41 and 42. In 1 Kings, the prayer has a longer ending that invoked Moses and the Exodus. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 50 to 53. It also describes Solomon raising his feet, blessing the assembly, and calling the people to remain faithful to God. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 54 to 61. Now we see that Solomon went outside in the courtyard. This was what blessed me. And he built an altar in the courtyard because there were so many people that came. And he built a raised altar in the courtyard that he could minister to God so that the people could see and hear him ministering to God. He was praying to God. That's what prayer is. He was having a conversation in the open air. The big temple was behind Solomon. He was in front of the people. I said, wow. But we want to stay in the building because it's plush. It has gold posters and seats for trimmed with gold and all that stuff. We want to be in there. But Solomon went outside. I said, wow. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 12 to 42. Solomon went outside to minister to God and allow the people to see him bowing down. Chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles, God responds to Solomon's prayer of dedication. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 12 to 42. By filling the temple with his glory, his presence is signaled by fire coming down and consuming the sacrifices. Compared to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38. There is no indication that sacrifices have been made for the fire to consume, which suggests that 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1 to 3, either act as a type of preface or summary for the rest of the chapter, or that the priest had already prepared a sacrifice. A similar event occurs in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 26, Leviticus chapter 9, and verse 23 and 24. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 2. It says that, verse 1 says, and when Solomon finished praying, then fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and sacrifices, and the glory of Yahweh filled the house. And the priests were not able to go into the house of Yahweh or God, for the glory of Yahweh has filled the house. When all the Israelites saw the fire come down and the glory of Yahweh upon the house, they knelt down with their face to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and gave thanks to God, Yahweh, for he is good, for his loyal love is everlasting. See, when you begin to seek God, when you begin to spend time in his presence, the people begin to bow down. Why? Because the king is bowing. And because the king is bowing in the presence of the Lord, showing his humility, his humbleness before God, God's presence is full blown. You begin to see the manifestation of his presence. His glory shows up. The people now acknowledge that God is present. They begin to bow. They fall down on their faces. A priest would just go to the altar. A priest would just get up in the morning and say, look, we're going to be here this morning. And don't warn the people. Just get up. Praise and worship is going on. The praise theme, the choir is going on. And pastor, just get down. Bishop, just get down. Evangelist, teachers, prophet, just get down at the altar. and begin to cry out before God. We would see such a manifestation of God's power and presence and glory in the house. Because people would begin to walk to the altar. They would be drawn to the altar just by seeing the man of God, the woman of God at the altar. They would be drawn to the altar. You know, all week I've been playing with this computer. All week. Trying to get on. Well, it's almost complete. It's not finished yet. They still have problems. Because this is we are currently experiencing an issue with our live broadcast system. Our engineers are working to fix the issue. It's still having problems. They still have problems, but we are trying to put something on today. And here he says, they give thanks to God. The people view God's fire as evidence of his acceptance of this sacrifice. They respond by worshiping and giving him thanks. When we begin to praise God and glorify God, somebody was sick. Somebody got healed. Somebody needed a job. Somebody got a job. Somebody was going through a relationship. Their marriage problems was, they were just about to lose, to break up, to get divorced. But we find out that, no, they're no longer getting divorced. That's enough to break out in prayer. Some son was running wild. A daughter was running wild with loss. But they come back home like the prodigal son. It's time to have a prayer celebration in the church. But no. Hold on for a minute. My sinuses are clouded. Give me a second. We don't take a lot. We don't need a lot. We don't need a lot to praise God. We can look around. There's something going on in the house. Something in the house. Something has changed. Give us reason. Let's pray. Let's start to pray. And everybody start to pray. And glory to God. I don't have to preach every Sunday. You don't have to preach every Sunday. Some Sunday, love the Holy Ghost. Not fine, but every Sunday. Love the Holy Ghost. He might move a different way this Sunday than he moved last Sunday. It got to be the Holy Ghost. We just watching the clock. 12 o'clock, we got to shut the door. 1:30, we got to close the door. Because we're watching the clock. You wonder why God is not causing all these things, great miracles to happen, because we are limiting him. The Bible said that. He said that people bow down in response by worshiping and giving thanks. His loyal love is everlasting. This is the same refrain that the Levitical singers sang earlier in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 13. It is found throughout Psalms 106, verse 1, Psalm 107, verse 1, Psalm 118, verse 1, Psalm 136, verse 1. It's all there, people bowing down. The saints of God, the children of God, is bowing down and giving God glory, giving him praise. We want to give him praise. No, we want to give him praise. When we get a new job, we want to come to church and say, Lord, God, give me a second job. Not realizing the devil giving you a second job because he's trying to keep you busy so you don't have time to study the word. You don't have time to pray. You don't have time to even come to church. You come to church that morning to give a testimony that you got a second job. You can pay for the big screen TV, the new car that you want to get. And all of a sudden, next Sunday you can't come because you're too tired. And the next Sunday you can't come because you got to work. And it keep on going up until shortly you're actually backsliding. You know, backsliding is not a sudden dash. It's a slow slide. Slow sliding away. Yes, you're sending your money, you're sending your tithes and sending your offerings. But where is your soul? You're sending your tithing office, and pastor said, oh, yeah, I can come to a sister so-and-so. She's going to send her tithe and give her office. But where is she? Where is he? He's tired, laying up on the bed, sleeping. When he do get a break from his job, he's laying up tired. That's no time to fast, no time to pray, no time to give God what he really needs. He don't need your money. He needs your heart. The priest stood at the post. Listen. This section, verse 4 to 10, Here's what he says. The king. Then the king and all the people were offering a sacrifice before God. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicate the house of God. And the priests stood at their post with the Levites, the singers. These are the ones that had to preach and sing with the instruments of the sound of Yahweh that King David had made to give thanks to Yahweh, for his loyal love is everlasting. Whenever David offered praise by their hands, now the priest sounded trumpet, standing opposite them, and all Israel stood. And Solomon consecrated the middle of the courtyard and was before the house of Yahweh. For there he had made a burnt offering and the fat of the fellowship offering for the bronze altar that Solomon had made was not able to hold the burnt offerings, cereal offerings, and the fat offerings. The Bible says, and Solomon held a feast at that time of 7 days, and all Israel was with him, a very great assembly from Lebo Hamath to the river of Egypt. And on the eighth day, they made a solemn assembly. For they held the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. Now watch this. 14 days. 14 days this man of God dedicated to giving God glory for all that God has done for him. He has given back a super portion of all that God had given to him. We can't even have service for 1 day. God have mercy. We can't even have service for 1 day. People say it's too long. You know what they're like now? Zoom. Zoom. I see that they got this thing now. Zoom now. All these cameras all over the church. And the people are staying home. Zoom is good for those that can't get out. But you got people that are young people that are staying home, and all they're doing is listening to the Bluetooth on the head, the cell phone, listen to the pastor. What about assembling together? The Bible said that the people assembled with Solomon. All this stuff he's doing, the worship of the going on, he's dedicating the altar, the temple. He's dedicating everything to the God of his salvation, his father's God. He's dedicating. The Bible says, in the middle of the courtyard, he is dedicating everything. All the people that flooded the courtyard, the people assembled. He said, the Bible says, and on the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people away to their tents, rejoicing and festive of heart on account of the goodness that God, Yahweh, had done for David, Solomon, and Israel, his people. And Solomon finished the house of, Solomon finished the house of God and the house of the king, his own house. And all that came into the heart of Solomon to do with respect of the house of Yahweh and his own house, he accomplished. If it came in Solomon's heart to do for the Lord, that's what he did. He didn't hold back anything. The Bible says God charged to Solomon. Then Yahweh appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I hold back the heavens so that there is not rain, and when I command the locusts to devour the earth, and if I send disease upon my people, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and will pray and seek my face and will turn from their wicked ways, then I myself shall hear from heavens. I will forgive their sins and heal their land. He said, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive. God is listening to the prayer of this house. And now I have chosen and consecrated this house for my name to be there forever. My eyes, God says, and my heart will be there for all time. Now as for you, if you will walk, listen, God talking to Solomon. He said to Solomon, my computer jumped a little bit. Let's go up here. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Jesus. He said to Solomon, now as for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and will keep my ordinance and judgment, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom as I promised to David your father, saying, a man shall not be cut off for you from ruling over Israel. But if you turn yourself away and forsake my ordinance and my commandments, which I have given before you all, and will go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then I will uproot them from among my land that I have given to them. And this house that I have consecrated for my name, I will send away from before my face. And I will make it a proverb, a taunt among all the nations. And as for this house, which was exalted, although all who pass by it will be appalled and will say, why has Yahweh done thus to this land and to this house? Then they will say, because they forsake Yahweh, the God of their ancestors, who brought them out from the land of Egypt, and they lay hold of other gods and worship them and serve them. Therefore he has brought upon them all this evil. See, if we be willing and obedient, the good of the land. God promised to fulfill the covenant that he has made with our ancestors. All we need to do, this is for us too, not just for Israel. All we need to do is to walk upright before God, to honor God with everything that we say, everything that we do. Here, in the middle of the courtyard, Solomon sets up an altar, consecrated it, make it holy for the Lord, that he could talk to God before the people, so the people could see, recognize, hear him talking to Yahweh. His prayer was not in closure. It wasn't in the closet. His prayer was 14 days, nonstop praying to the Lord. I never really paid that no attention. keep praising. 7 days with a feast. 7 days offering. This man prayed. But you know, this is why we got to stay focused. Because you know Solomon departed. There's always going to be, when you get close to God, this is when you got to become alert. The more time you spend with the Lord, the more you got to be alert. Because the enemy going to send detractors. He's going to send detractors, those to distract you, delay you, and even destroy you if it is possible. You see, all the women start coming after Solomon. He's a mighty man of God. God is using him. We're going to go down there. We want to be with him. Why do they want to be with him? Because they want to hinder the work of God. But what's the best way to hinder the work of God? Get him doing what we are doing. Get him connected to the God that we are worshiping. He wants to be with us. So if he really wants to be with us, he has started worshiping our gods. And that's what they did. They went after Solomon. You understand? The Bible says he had 700 wives and 300 concubines, something like that. Glory to God. So they're going to come after you. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just got to pray, bless the people, and get out and get home, head home. Don't fool around with them. Because a lot of them are detractors. They're coming to distract you. They're going to try to build your head up and tell you that you are such an awesome, anointed preacher of God. You should know that already. Look in the mirror in the morning. Talk to yourself in the mirror. Thank God for blessing you, for waking you up and putting his anointed hands upon you. Bless the Lord. Don't wait for that women come tell you. That man come tell you, girl, oh man, you preaching so, you preaching out the box now. You already know that. God told you that. When you were talking to him last night, he told you how well you're going to do on Sunday morning. How he going to use you on Sunday morning. Already done told you. But you know, we as men and women of God, we like accolade. A lot of us. A lot of you are not. I don't care now. I try to get out of there as fast as I can. They say, well, you're going, Pastor, I'm going home. Going home to my family. Because one thing leads to another. You know, we. So you hear what Solomon says. There's no one without sin. There's no one that does not sin. He didn't say that they're without sin. He said there's no one without that doesn't sin. That means that people sin all the time. They sin. He told the Lord, says, you know, there's no one that does not sin, you know. So, you know, you got sin. You don't have to be actively sinning. But that thing is there. That way you got to repent all the time. Every chance you get, repent. They say, well, why the pastor left? Why the pastor at the altar, stooping at the, kneeling at the altar? Pastor protecting his soul. Pastor's protecting his soul because pastor knows that the enemy come to kill, steal, and to destroy. He got to protect his soul. How are you going to protect your soul? Not wearing a bulletproof vest. You have to protect your soul by praying, by seeking God's faith. Go in there and ask God, strengthen us. Strengthen us. You've been rejuvenated like Abraham. He said, you're 70 years old. He said, don't let that fool you. You're 74. Don't let that fool you. The devil will turn on some stuff inside of you too. Now he says, Yahweh appears to Solomon and reaffirms the covenant. The prophet pages appears. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 1 to 9. The chronicler adds to the 1 Kings material at 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 13 to 15. Yahweh affirms that if the people will show humility and repentance, he will respond with forgiveness and healing. See? We got to come down off the high horse. We got to come down off our pedestal. Don't wait till we fall back like Eli and break our neck. Get off our pedestal and begin to seek God's face. Stop asking God for, give me this, give me this, give me this. Let's seek his face. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Let's seek God's faith. We want to have a mind to serve God with everything that's within us. Hallelujah. I was trying to teach a word for 3 days. 3 days. And every day, every single day, that computer was down. Yesterday I started going, and it started working out, and all of a sudden the computer went, yeah, goodbye. Said goodbye. They ain't had a fix. So I said, okay, I went back in there and erased what little word I put on there. I erased it. Because it wasn't enough. It wasn't coming out. And then it was messed up. But God said it's going to get back there. I just got to be faithful. And I wanted to talk about the incredible unconditional love of God. For 3 days, I was trying to teach that message. The incredible unconditional love of God. 3 days, that computer been down. But we'll get back to it. We'll get back to it. The devil's a liar. He's not going to stop us. We got to be persistent and consistent. Because if you give up and throw in the towel and say, well, I'm not going to do it anymore because the devil, the system is messed up. I'm just going to dismantle. The devil will win. We can't let him win. The Bible says here, Solomon prayed. And the glory of God filled the temple. And not even the priests and the Levites. They could not, the people could not enter in because the prayer was so powerful. Persistent and consistent. Reliable, dependable. The prayer was ready. The hearts of the people was ready to talk to God and hear from God. And the Bible says that God said that he will heal their land. Forgive their sins. If the people would just come with a heart of humility and repentance. No, don't go to the altar just for the pastor to see you. Don't go to the altar because you want the elders and the deacons to see you at the altar. Go to the altar because you want God to do something on the inside of you. Go to the altar for that. The Bible says God responds to 2 Chronicles is somewhat different from in 1 Kings. While 1 Kings focus on the faithfulness only of Solomon, 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 4 and 5, the additional material in 2 Chronicles expresses the need for God's people to be faithful. This call to return to God, along with his promise of restoration, would have been especially significant for the chronicler or audience of returned exile. I have chosen and consecrated. God did this. 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 3. As David, your father, walked. 1 Kings 9 and 4. A man shall not be cut off for you from ruling. 1 Kings chapter 2 and 4. See, God has a plan and a purpose for his people. His plan was from creation. And his plan's obedience to him. When we become disobedient to God, we mess with the plan. We mess with the plan when we become disobedient. So we see here, you turn yourselves away. Verse 19. Okay. Verse 19. But if you turn yourselves away and forsake my ordinance and my commandments, which I have given before you all, go and serve other gods and bow down to them, verse 26, then I will uproot them from among my land that I have given to them, and this house that I have consecrated for my name, I will send away from before my face. Listen to what God says. And I will make a proverb and a thorn among all the nations. Do you hear what God say? It's very important that we be obedient, that we follow the instructions that God has given. It's in the book. The problem is that we're not teaching anymore. Hear what I'm saying. There's not a whole lot of teaching. Now, if you go over to Pastor Joyce, the Apostle Short Church, where they are the watchmen for God over there, you will hear them teaching the gospel. Pastor Joyce is a good teacher, too. Good, very good teacher. They're both good teachers. Well, you don't hear that today too much in the church. Everybody wants to take one single verse, or sometimes two or three verses, and they'll read those three verses, or they ask somebody in the congregation read the verses. They got a book reader sometimes. People got book readers. And then they'll take up, they got 15 pages that they have. Say, well, I was studying this week. I was researching this week, the table. Now, I've been researching the Hebrew and the Greek and the Latin and all this stuff. And then they come and put 15 pages to you that don't line up. It sounds good. It sounds good. But God says in his word that we have to follow his ordinance and his commandments. That's what the people need. They need to know what God requires of them, not what the pastor's saying. Yeah, pastor preaching good. Pastor hooping and hollering and starting and all kind of stuff. He preaching good. She preaching good. But what does God say? What is the ordinance of God? What is the commands of God? What does God require of us today? To live and be holy. To honor his word. To walk upright before him. How are you going to walk upright if you don't know God's ordinance? You don't know what his plan. You're talking about fornication in church and people look at you bad. They don't want to come back to the church. You're talking about adultery. They don't want to come back. A week ago, I was talking about fornication and adultery. And a young man in church got up and walked out to church. He went back to church then. His mother's there. His brother's there. And the girlfriend that he's been sleeping with, we know this. You understand? They never come back to the church. Because when you speak on God's ordinance, folk don't want to come. Let me see who it is, because I ain't seen these numbers before, but they may be a tricky number, so quick, so I got to be ready to put it on hold. See, if you tell the truth and preach God's word, people don't want to come. But if you take up and you respond to words that sounds real good and real, worldly, they're coming back. Because they say you're not bombarding what they're doing. You're not touching what they're doing. You're talking about adultery, lying, and cheating, and all this fornication, all the different sins. Matter of fact, if you start talking against sin, you don't even have to call it fornication or adultery or none of this stuff. Just talk about sin. You ain't want to come back. But you start talking about prosperity. God's going to bless the church. And God's going to do this and God is doing that. I'm telling you, God is healing your body. God doing this. Oh, they love your preaching. They love your preaching. We're going to get ready to get over here because my sinus is acting up and I got a lot on there right now. So he told Solomon, you turn yourself away. The you here is plural. God might be addressing Solomon and his descendants as perhaps Solomon and all the people of Israel and serve other gods. The northern and southern kingdoms eventually are exiled. In both cases, the text of two kings identify adultery as the cause. This is what he's talking about in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 7 to 23. And chapter 21, verse 9, verse 10 to 18. And see, the people turn away and decide to reject God. And what happens is when we reject God and we're doing our own thing, What's the consequence?
Judgment.
You look at the young people today, they got tattoos all over them. Piercings everywhere. They don't look at the book of Leviticus. They have not been taught. I have one on my head. I had one pierced ear about 47 years ago. And it's filled back and it's filled up. It's still, I can still feel where the hole was, but it's filling. I'm not putting any more piercings in my body. I'm not putting any more tattoos on my body because I know different now. But the people today, they get a little bit of money, they run to the tattoo shop. They don't pay rent, don't pay the mortgage, don't pay the car note, they get the car repossessed, all that kind of stuff. But they'll go put tattoo for $300, $400. You know, some of them tattoos are very expensive. One person said, well, that tattoo cost me $400-something, $300-something. And they don't have nothing. You understand? Don't have anything, but they put tattoos on themselves, $400-$500 tattoos on their body. They turn away from God. They're worshiping all the stuff that's of the world. You understand? So what you're going to have? You're going to have judgment. Judgment is going to be the consequences for sin against God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Here in this book, we almost finished here. They serve other gods. He said they're going to become a proverb or an taunt. Refers to a taunt or mocking saying. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 4. Jeremiah 24:9. Why has Yahweh done thus to this land and to this house? Echoes the curses from in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 24 to 28. 2 Chronicles 29 and 26. See, God already told us that if we do good, we're going to be blessed. If we do bad, we're going to be cursed. If we are willing and obedient, we're going to be blessed. We're going to eat the good of the land. You ever notice that when you are listening to God and following God, that it seems that everything is going right for you? The moment that you start walking contrary to God's word, it seems like all hell is breaking loose. You say, well, why is this happening to me? Why is that happening to me? We're talking about today, the word was... Hold on here a minute for a moment. Here, we got to know that God wants to bless us. And what we have to do is we have to become obedient to God's word. Follow the instructions. If God tell you not to lie, try your utmost best to not lie. Try your best. Solomon says, there's no one on the earth that does not sin. But he also said that God is faithful. He is loving. He's merciful. If God gives us, reward us now for everything that we have done, we won't even see his face. But he's so faithful, he is so faithful, that he gives us chance after chance after chance. Even for the lesbian, the homosexual, the fornicator, the adulterer, the one who steals, the prostitute, the one who lies, and the one who murders, they still have a chance if they don't hang them right away. Even before they hang them, they have a chance to repent and receive God's forgiveness. Even in the book of Revelation, the Bible says that he gave Jezebel, that old witch, he gave her an opportunity to repent, to turn from her sinful way. But she preferred to continue sin. It's just like some of us. We've been living a lifestyle of sin for so many years. And God decided, they said, look, you know what? I love you so much that I'm going to send my son. Let my son go and be abused. Because he's going to come as God in the flesh. And he's going to humble himself and he's going to let mankind abuse him so that you and I can have access to the tree of life. Give us an opportunity to entrance of God, to repentance and the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the Bible said without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But when we repent and we turn from our sinful ways, what Jesus does, he washes us in his blood. Because his blood is the only thing that can cleanse us and make us whole. It doesn't matter what your sin was. And I know that I committed some crazy sin in my time out there in the world, running the streets. But when I read that God is faithful and just to forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, I began to weep. Because I couldn't believe that God would love me enough that he would forgive me. But the Bible says so. The Bible says so, that in midst of all of my sinning, that while I was yet sinning, God commanded his love towards me. He commanded his love. What's his love? His love is his son. Jesus Christ, he gave his son, his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Doesn't matter what your sin is. You know, a lot of people that are living a sinful lifestyle, whatever their sin is, I don't care what their sin is. That's between them and God. But they don't like us as Christians because they say, well, we don't like them because they sin. And that's a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You know, we don't hate them. We hate sin. But the devil tell them, say, no, I want you to know that them Christians over there don't like you because you're a prostitute. They don't like you because you're gay. They don't like you because you play the dice. You know, all the devil calls on everything because he's the author and finisher of life. He's the author and finisher. That's what he is. He's the prime minister of lies. He's the father of lies. That's what he does. And he tell the people in the world, well, you know, the fellas down there at that church, they don't like you all. They don't care for you all. And that's not so. The church don't hate the homosexual. The church don't hate the lesbian or the fornicator. The church hates sin. And that's rightfully we should do. All of us should hate sin. You shouldn't be in love of sin. God didn't deliver you from sin for you to go back and fall in love with sin again. You got to hate sin. With everything inside of you, you got to hate it. But you don't hate the sinner. You love the sinner. But you hate sin. And see, if the people would understand that, we would begin. They would begin to be drawn to Christ. But the devil tell them so, they know, them Christians down there don't care nothing but you. All they hate you, they hate your lifestyle. I hate you. No, I hate sin. S-I-N. All sin. And sin sometimes try to get me. So I have to stay on. I have to stay on board with God. Because if I don't stay on board, sin would have me back there doing the same thing I used to do before. I'm just being truthful with you. Every one of us, if we don't stay connected, if we don't stay prayed up and pray every chance we get, even on the highway you're driving your car, your truck, somebody will cut you off and act simple and give you the finger or something and make you want to just flip from being the doctor to the incredible help. You understand? You will flip. That's why you're going to stay prayed up. And the people will challenge you and make you think they will challenge you and want to fight you, saying, cussing you out because they say they hate you. You hate them and they hate you. They don't really know who you are. But without even trying to research who you are, spend some time and get to understand that you are God's servant and that you love them, they start cussing you out and call you all types of names, want to fight for you, and if possible, they want to stab you or shoot you or do something to harm you without even knowing who you are or how you feel about them. Because that's all from the devil. Satan tell them, or even in the church. You got folk in the church that can't stand each other. I'm telling the truth. In the church building. And you see with all them church folk. But you know, some of the church folk don't care for church folk. They don't care for the people in the church. And that's the honest to God truth. Hallelujah. They come in, they like who they like, and they hate who they hate, right in the house of the Lord, and they think they're going to heaven. Glory to God. So We just thank God and praise God for you all that we're able to get on here today. And this is the truth. We'll be back here tomorrow afternoon. The Lord say the same. Pray for my strength. Pray for my strength because my body is wrecked with cold. I'm not claiming it, but the truth is the truth, you know. But God is healing me. A couple of weeks ago, it was my heart, and I'm thanking God that the heart is doing real good, real good. The heart is doing real good. I'm not having no pains, chest pains anymore. You know, and I was praying about that very much because I'll be going away on close to the end of January. I'm going away. I'm going to spend about 4 weeks away. And checking out some stuff, you know, looking over some stuff and see what the Lord wants to do. Man, keep me in prayer. I was asking God to strengthen my heart, you know, because I want to be in a different country and another country. And because medicines or medical doctors like you have in America. You have the best equipment, best everything here. You know, best hospitals. If you go to the worst hospital here in America, it's better than the best hospital in one of those countries. I'm telling you, because they don't have the equipment that we have. You know what I'm saying? So the intelligence that we have. So I was praying to God to strengthen my heart. And, you know, for some reason that artery was acting up. But praise God, we've been going through every day and every night without pain. And I gave all the glory and honor to God because only he could do what he did. I then went back to the hospital, didn't have no tests, no nothing. You know, I just trust God. You know, only thing I have known is just cold because it's some type of virus going around. And I tell myself I'm not getting any more flu shots, no more COVID shots, none of this stuff that they got. You know, because ever since I got the COVID shot, I had a pain in my left shoulder and never went away. Still have the pain. So I'm not getting any more. No flu shot now, because I don't know what them people put inside my body. So I'm just using natural herbs that come off the tree, come out the ground, you know, and I'm using those. And that's what I did when I went on was working on getting my heart. I come from one called berberine, and berberine is good for the heart and for arteries, strengthening the arteries. I used that. Yeah. And then the other one that I use is Charleston's, good for the heart. And then I use another African drug here called Matanese. And that is really, really, really good for cleaning out the arteries, you know, getting the plaque out the arteries. And I use those three. And I tell you, glory to God, with the help of my Father, yeah, the pain has gone. And I'm breathing better, flowing better, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. Thank you for those that were able to hear a little bit of what you had to say today. Thank you for Pastor Stewart, Pastor Joyce Stewart. We thank you for Minister Jones. Thank you for Brother Mark. We thank you for Prophetess Cheryl. She came on for a little while. And somebody else is on the line there. Another number that I never seen before. And we thank God for that. Thank God for you all. We just pray, God, continue to bless us and bless us over the weekend and bless us on Sunday morning, even those that you all that are celebrating Christmas and buying the Christmas tree and all that stuff. I don't have no Christmas tree because I operate according to Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 3. I don't build, buy no tree and put ornaments on the tree and worship the tree. If you want to give your kids presents, give them presents. But follow God's ordinance. All this is in God's ordinance. You know, we do what the pagan gods do. And so we got to stop that stuff. We got to get to understand what God is saying. It's in the Word. It's in the Word. We buy a tree, we plant the tree in the house, and we worship the tree. Put golden images and gold and silver images on it, and we worship the tree. You know, it's in the book of Jeremiah. That's not what David Callender is saying. That's what God says. you know, and we ought not be doing that, you know. We even have the Christmas tree in the house of God, in the church building. I've seen it. I know I got a pastor down here, in he's a Nigerian pastor. Every Christmas he got a big 5-foot tree. Big tree. He got a big tree, sometimes bigger than 5 feet. 8 feet, 9 feet. Big giant tree he puts in right up by the altar. And all the presents all around the tree. You know. Now God said, don't do that stuff. But these things becomes idols. If you don't know God, Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just take a time out this morning. You know the scriptures. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The Bible says that this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's John 3:16, John 3:17, and John 3:19. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him, Jesus Christ, shall not be ashamed. Okay. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Excuse me. See, my chest is still stuffed up. Flow, but it'll be clear. And Jesus says he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one come to the Father except through him. He did not say that he was one of the ways. You know, a lot of preachers, a lot of teachers saying they have bent the word now because they want to satisfy the public, the people. And they say that there's many other ways to the Father, that Jesus is not the. And then you have some of the preachers say, why would God, a God that is a loving God, people to go to send people to hell? No, God is not going to send anyone to hell. If you go to hell, if I go to hell, it's because of my sin, because of our sin. If we continue in sin, that's what the Bible says in Romans 6:23. We will pay the penalty. The penalty is spiritual death. But if you repent of your sin, as we read in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if we repent of our sin and we turn from our sinful lifestyle, God says that he would hear from heaven, he will forgive our sins, heal our land. Okay, this is what he said. But we have to be willing to repent. And repentance means just what it says, turning from something and turning to something else. Just don't clean out the safe and leave it empty. Put something in the safe. Once you clean out your heart of the sin, allow God to clean out your heart. Now you've got to allow him in. He's the one who cleaned your heart out. David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Now you need God to put the right spirit. You've got to allow him to put the right spirit. Peter said, repent, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 2:38. When you repent, you open your heart for cleansing. And then you get baptized in Jesus' name. You receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's filled your heart. Hallelujah. Paul said, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. You can't purchase nothing. You can't purchase salvation. Jesus purchased at the cross when he laid down his life. He went through 14 stations. They kick him, they spit on him, they tore his skin with a whip, they tore his skin for your sins, tore his flesh, my sins, they nailed his feet through the solid bone, through his wrist. He was nailed through his wrist, not through his palms. He was crowned with 2-3-inch thorns. That blood came down his brow, down his neck, down his face for your sins and my sins. But we allow the devil to keep us in a sinful lifestyle because we want to suffice our nasty, filthy flesh. We want to continue fornicating, continue committing adultery, continue living a promiscuous lifestyle with same sex. We want to do the same thing, expecting different results, but God said not so. If you want different results, you're going to have to do something different. You're going to have to make up in your mind today or tomorrow, every day, that you're going to live for Christ. Christ died for you. You want to live for him. And how we live for him? By submitting and committing to his way, into his way, into his truth. Jesus told the woman at the well about her lifestyle. She had five husbands. And the one she had, the sixth one she had, was not for hers. The man she was with. She dropped her water pots and went back into the city and tell everybody about a man. She said, come see a man that tell me all about myself. She was convicted. He didn't convict her. She was convicted by the truth. And she left the water that she needed so much. In the hot heat of the day, she came to get the water where nobody would harass her. People drew water early in the morning, late in the evening, because it's very hot in Israel. She left the water, ran back into town, glad because her soul was free to tell the people of this Jesus. And today Jesus wants you, wherever you are. If you're living a sinful lifestyle, you may be mad at me because I talk about sin. Well, I can talk about sin because I was the biggest sinner. Biggest sinner. Lived my lifestyle in every area of sin I was. But God forgave me. When someone prayed with me and prayed for me, he forgave me. And even when I have thoughts of sin, because he said, even if you think of sin, you're sinning. You're sinning spiritually. And I repent for my thoughts. He forgave me and cleaned my thoughts for that very moment. That don't mean the thoughts are not going to come back, because the enemy always trying to put thoughts in our thoughts so that we can, he can deceive us and may, if possible, get us falling our thoughts, to be in our thoughts. But if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can have him into your life today. Jesus said, behold, I am coming quickly. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If you would open the door, he would come in and sup with you and you with him. Just open the door to your heart to then invite Jesus in. Let Jesus know that you recognize the Lord Jesus. I recognize that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe in the word of God that said that you were crucified on a hill called Calvary, that you were pierced, that you were nailed, and that you were crowned, and that you died on that cross. A hill called Golgotha, or the skull, and that you were buried in a borrowed tomb. Yes, I believe that you paid this ultimate price that I owed that I could not pay. You paid for my sins, giving me the opportunity to repent and turn from my sinful lifestyle, turn to you for righteousness. Jesus, today, I am denouncing Satan and all of his agents, and this world system, all that it stands for. I'm coming to you knowing and acknowledging that you are the one who paid the price that I owe, the debt that I owe that I could not pay. Today, Jesus, I'm inviting you to come into my heart. Live in my heart, in my soul, in my mind. Take complete control of who I am, Jesus. Change me from the inside out. I don't want to look good on the outside with a suit or a dress. I want to be good from the inside. I want you to change me from the inside. This is my request today, Lord Jesus, that you would change me from the inside. Help me to walk upright before you. Help me to live a lifestyle that glorifies you. In Jesus' name. If you just said that quick prayer and you believe you have just received the gift of salvation, now get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts, so that you get a gospel understanding of this Jesus that we preach and teach about every day. And then call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, someone, and tell them that you received the gift of salvation, but that you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. The Bible said that you need to be baptized. It's part of salvation. It's like the finish covering for your salvation. The Bible says he told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. See that he that believeth in his name shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is the word of God. So you want to be baptized. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, even your enemies. And we call it the liquid grave. You're going into this grave, this watery grave, and you are leaving everything that held you captive, everything that tried to block you or keep you away from Christ. You're leaving in that water. And you're going down there in Jesus' name, and when you come up out that water, you're coming up in Jesus' name, leaving all the other stuff behind. And then you find a church, get a church that, search for a church that's preaching and teaching the truth. Why do you say that, Apostle? Because every church that you go to, every building that you go to, let me say it that way, because the building is just the building, it's not the church. We are the church. Every one of us is the individual church. When we come together, we make one big church. Understand? And you want to find a church that's preaching the truth, because everybody's not preaching the truth. Somebody's preaching about prosperity. Name it and claim it. They don't care what you do. You know, you can keep doing what you want to do and think that you're going to heaven, but you will not go to heaven. You're only going to go to heaven if you live an obedient life, a faithful life to Christ, a holy life. Hallelujah. And you want to be in a church that will teach you how to live holy, because holiness is the teaching. You have to be taught. People are taught to lie. But if they're taught to lie and they're taught to kill, you have to be taught to live holy, to walk holy. So you want to be in a church that will teach you how to live holy. Study the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Make sure that you make an effort to study the Word of God every single day. You need food for your body, natural food for your body to survive. Well, it's the same thing. One bishop I used to be with used to say, same in the natural, same in the spirit. You need natural food for your natural body. You need spiritual food for your spiritual body. And the spiritual food is in those 66 books. There's many other books, like the book of Enoch, the book of James, book of, well, a lot of different books. You know, the Apocrypha. There's a lot of books that you can study. But this one is the one you want to work on, these 66 books. And there's a lot of different versions. King James, you got the Amplified, you got the Message, you got the Logos, you got the NLT, you got the NIV, you got the American Standards, you got AMS, a lot of different books. But get a Bible that makes sense to you. And I recommend the King James Version, maybe the New King James or the Old King James, but get one of them. You got the Maccabees too. But study the Word of God so you understand what he requires for you, for your life. What he requires for your life. Hallelujah. And your life will never be the same. If he leads you, your life will never be the same, and you'll reach your destination. In Jesus' name. The line is now open for anyone that wants to respond. The line is open. I'm finished. Thank God.
God bless you, Father. Love you.
God bless you. God bless you, Mr. Jones.
I've been hungry all week. But I was riding.
Yes.
And I'm a trainer now, and I was trying to, I can't wait to forget, get him on the plane and stuff yesterday, last night, before I go back home, and I was riding, I said, man, I want to be on the day, I heard a small voice say, I was there listening to my gospel music or something, cut on, go see the radio broadcast, it's on, and I know it had to be the Spirit of God, because, man, you said the Bible stuff today, man, I enjoy it every day, and I just thank God. You know you whooping on the enemy camp when your radio broadcast not having problems. You gotta find something, you gotta fight back some type of way when you preach the real gospel though. But but the word was so powerful, man. He said so many things that that so true. And man, you were talking about Christmas trees. I don't have none in my house either. I don't celebrate Christmas, but I know that where it comes from. I really don't do really none of the pagan holidays. I don't knock other people that do it, you know, but I just pray for them. But they actually only tell them the truth, you know. And yeah, I see churches too myself. It's a great disappointment to me because you see, you go to these churches and we say that's the house of God, and we bring a big idol right into church just to please the people, and then we say we represent God and we want God to come down, and we got this great big Christmas tree in the middle of our pulpit where it's supposed to be God's house. And so, you know, that's what I always say all the time. You know, we got to be careful when we allow people. Just maybe think about how Aaron allowed the people to cause him to build that golden calf. Just to make the people happy, he ended up getting in trouble with God. And a whole lot of people ended up getting destroyed the same day because of that. And so, you know, just in that time, well, people don't understand it. And, you know, people get offended when you tell the truth, you know. But like the word of God says, the word of God says, no man should live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free, says, set you free. But everybody don't want to be free. Some people won't, you know, like you were saying, you know, and I talked, got to pray for the young man that was in church that walked out. And people don't realize, when you walk out from God's word, you still going to have to give an account. Even though he walked out and they walked out, he still going to have to give an account for hearing the word of God and not doing it. Because he's not rejecting you, he's rejecting God. He's rejecting the word of God when he walked away from what God said. It was the reason why God said not to fornicate or commit adultery. And we just in the society now, well, anything goes, do what you want to do. And people don't want sound doctrine anymore. They don't want you to tell them that, like you said, they want to tell them that they're going to win the lottery and get rich quick and get a bigger house and bigger cars. We're not going to take none of this stuff with us. Our life is just a borrowed life. Our life is like a Bible, like this grass out here, you know, and all that time short, you know, and so people don't think about it. They're just thinking about now, and they're not realizing that, you know, that our time is short. You know, the Bible says, they hear my voice, harden not your heart, but we're just in a time now where people don't love the word of God like they used to, because you got different doctrines coming up now. You got different, we got doctrines of devils and deceivers and seducers, rash and worse and worse. People saying, and then they deceiving and being deceived. You got different messages. You preaching the whole gospel, then you got another preacher over there saying that he a preacher, telling them that they still going to heaven, like causing fears and just passed away. You talking about there ain't no hell. But it's a heaven. And then it's like, and people really believe this man. This man died with a spirit of pride, and they still think this man, that man in hell. Because you can't change God's word to fit your narrative. God created hell for devil and his angels. But like you said, God gave us a choice. Just like he gave Adam and Eve, he gave us a choice. Every day we have a choice, whether we're going to repent and do it the way God say do it, or we got to pay the penalty. But it's just saying how everybody else can have rules and laws, and God can't have none. You got laws in the street. You got laws when you break the speed limit. You got laws in the barbershop, laws in the laundromat, laws in the grocery store. You got laws in your own house. But when it comes to the house of God, people feel like God got, or when God so loved the world, but why he can't let me do what I want to do? You know, and it's just people that don't understand it. They're saying that we're in a time now where so much pride is a bad thing that causes people to fall. But pride, spirit of pride will bring on or make you wicked and evil and God can't do nothing with you. And that's just what we're looking at today. We're in a time now you really have to pray hard, you know, work out your own soul salvation, because people don't want you to tell them about their sin anymore. They, you know, and it's like, you know, how can I, if I love you, it's like when you go to the doctor. And this is that I use when I witness. I say, if you go to the doctor and the doctor tell you got cancer, you're going to tell them, don't tell you got cancer. You're going to try to do everything you can to try to get healed from that cancer. You ain't going to argue with that doctor. You're going to tell that doctor, hey, man, what I need to do, you're going to go to whatever pharmaceutical sorcery place you can go to find something for that cancer. But then when it comes to God, when it comes down to your soul, you don't want to hear that. But you'll hear what the doctor tell you if something going on in your body. If you got high blood pressure, you're going to do whatever you can to take whatever shots you got to take for your high blood pressure. But when it comes to your soul, people because in the time, people are not concerned about their soul no more. They don't believe that there's a penalty for sin. You got sinners in hell, you got preachers in hell. And so that's just the time we're living in, Apostle, and we realize the praise is sad that, and I'm not trying to discredit that young man. He's not the only one like that. You got people, God, they go to church every Sunday still and reject God. It ain't just sinners. You got people go to church every Sunday, they still reject God because of what they do one thing in the church, and then when they go home, their lifestyle is different. You know, they look good, they sing, and do all the stuff in church, and then when they go home, they're not the same person that they show up when they're in front of their pastor, because they pastor God. They ain't looking at the Creator, and they don't realize your pastor back can't put you in heaven. But he ain't got no place to put himself in. And so the people don't know, and it takes the Spirit of God to know the truth. You know what I'm saying? It takes our people out of the Spirit of God, and it's just the time we're living in, man. People, we got something in there. We just in America. I love America. I was born here. This is where I was born there. I love my country, but it just hurt me that we have so many idols in our country, so many pagan days, holidays, and then they don't, and then you don't, because the truth so powerful that the Roman, even the Roman Catholic, they don't combine Satan worship with Christianity. And so it's like you telling your kid to go to a seance to worship Satan when you worship Santa Claus. If you spell Santa Claus backwards, it spells Satan. And so a lot of people don't know about these holidays that were worship, and the elite were on a Christmas day, they would have orgies. Men would have orgies on that day, and they would give each other gifts. And so a lot of this stuff, you got to do a research on these things. On these holidays that you celebrate, people don't really know. They don't really think it's that serious, you know, and it's just sad. That you see a whole lot of churches, especially in America. That's why I said it before, and I said it on one time before. We set a bad example in America because we let people think, we call people to serve other gods. God said so plain and simple, when he brought the truth to Israel, out of Egypt, he told them not to worship no other god and don't put no other idol god before him. And that's what we do in America. In America, everything God tells us not to do, they say it's okay. And it's just sad that we in that. And then you can't tell some of these preachers, I say some, you can't tell them that, and they get an attitude, and they worry about their family and people more than they worry about how God feels. And that's why you see so much idol stuff going on in the church. I wonder why the church is so powerless. They ain't got enough power to blow their nose. People leaving out the same way. They ain't got enough power to cast a demon out nobody or nothing. And it just, that's why there's so much weakness, and that's why the enemy can come right into the church and eat a bag of chips, like you said, drink a Pepsi Cola and laugh at the church, because ain't no power there, because they got everything that's making a power shortage that God tells us not to do. All of us to see the power of God move, we got to get rid of all our idols, including ourselves. And then, you know, that's the time we live in that we have to pray. But I love you, be encouraged, I'm glad you feel the better. We sure praying for you on the prayer line, and I love you so much. I love all the apostles, ministers. I love all y'all too, man. And you know, like Apostle Calendar said, you got to study, especially this time, because the Bible said that knowledge won't increase. So you need to study, because there's so much stuff out there, you don't want to be deceived by all this deception they got out there. Because, you know, let them tell everybody going to heaven. And like I said before time, and I was saying that, when I was in the break room, when I picked up my trainee, I said, hey, man, the dude was asking me a lot of questions about the Bible. And I would get them to a blood raw, and I would tell them the truth. I said, man, everybody not going to heaven. That's a lie, and that's not true. I said, why would Christ die on the cross? And then say everybody going to heaven. Then why would God say, he created hell for the devil and his angels, but then hell has enlarged itself because people don't know God. They reject his law. They reject his way. And so we set ourselves there. And see, people don't understand that about God. They mad at God because he got rules, and I don't understand. How you mad at them? You don't get mad at the judge when they judge a murderer for killing somebody. You don't get mad at the judge if they murder. When a pedophile mess with a child, he got to go to prison. You say judge him and judge him for what he did. So why can't God judge us for what we do in our bodies? And so it's just the time. We didn't have to pray. But I love you. You be encouraged. I thank God that God is really... You are a man of God. You are an apostle. I thank God for you, for the anointing that you speak. You don't realize, when you be bringing the word of God, you're speaking through the Holy Spirit, and you say a lot of things that prophets, people, they're talking about Samuel, Saul, and we were talking about the woman at the well before I ain't got on here. I said, man, look at this. You know, but God, but I thank God for you being encouraged. I pray God continue to bless you and your family and all the apostles out there, ministers, and all y'all. Y'all be encouraged. Let's continue praying with each other and pray that we get in the place of God, that God can really use us in this hour and believe that persecution get ready to come. And it's getting ready to come to the church. We ain't just seen nothing yet. But with the radio, it's going to be what we ain't going to be able to say nothing at all, about God. And the doors getting ready to shake, And so we got to really make sure that we make working out our own soul salvation and then working wise. Then God bless you.
God bless you too, sir. Thank you so much for your response. I'm so grateful that we are back here. And, I had a text from your mom the other day. Something you don't realize that how important it is what we do. Sometimes we take it lightly. And she had sent me a message. How you doing, Pastor? Is everything all right? I said, everything is all right. So I had to explain to her that how the system, I got to ask myself, I said, Lord, I said, is it because the message that I wanted to teach? And the Lord had given me this message. And it titled the message, The Incredible Unconditional Love of God. And it was talking about Jesus, the sacrifice that Jesus has made, and how much that he loved us. And every day I try to put this message on, the computer wouldn't do nothing. It wouldn't do nothing. And it came upon there that they were having all of these problems. It never happened like this before. I mean, they have broken down like a day or a day and a half or so like that, but not almost a whole week, And right, even on right now, I got a thing on the computer on the screen. It says we are currently experiencing an issue with our live broadcast system. Our engineers are working to fix the issue. Well, it's almost a week. It was since last week, so they're still having problems. But I know that next week, if the Lord stays the same, because I got so more on this thing that we've been teaching today, talking about prayer is a gift of power from God. And that's what we're talking about. But next week, if the Lord stays the same, we are going to come back and do a couple episodes of that message that they were shutting out. But I want to make sure that the system is up and everything is working fine. God, I don't want to put just a little piece of it, because it's a lot. When you're talking about Jesus, when you focusing on speaking on Jesus, there's so much. You don't have enough time, because there's so much. There's so much to say about Jesus. You don't have enough time. But Solomon says that the temple was not, that blew my mind. Solomon said the temple was not big enough to hold his presence. I said, wow, wow. He said the heavens, not heaven, Tiro. He said the heavens were not big enough, large enough to hold God's presence. I said, geez, can you imagine how awesome he is? You think you can just preach about him in one message and that's it? Man, you got a lot of messages. When you start to talk to him, there's so much to talk, so much to tell about. People take him for granted, but there's so much about our God that you can say. Every time you open your mouth, there's something you can say about him, because he's so majestic, he's so sovereign, he's so holy, he's so righteous. I always have something to say about him. Always have something to say about him. Glory to God.
Hey, don't forget.
So the line is open.
Don't forget, he's patient too. God is patient. That's the people. See, people don't know the love of God. Because my experience, God could have killed me, allowed Satan to take me out, and I could have been in hell like a lot of my cousins and friends died in sin when I was out there on cocaine and drinking alcohol, laying up with all the people. God could allow me to catch AIDS, anything, and took me out of here. But the mercy of God kept me in time enough to get me right with God. And people don't know the mercy
That's
of God.
Right.
They think the mercy of God and the love of God is just giving them houses and cars. The love of God is giving you breath in your body. If it weren't for the
That's
brother,
right.
I told somebody to talk about one time, I said, think about about if God took all our breath right now, we'll fall dead right now. It would be nothing nobody can do. They're not, they're trying to use science and try to question what happened, and they'll bring their labs in. But if God signed right now and said, I'm done with man, and shut, cut everybody's breath off, I don't care what we do, all these trucks and all these planes will fall out the sky, and we won't have a chance. And see, people don't understand the love of God. And the verse of God, God could have got rid of man. Like they did, and if you look at it, you could tell if it weren't for his son and blood, man, look how God did him in the Old Testament. He ain't take no chance. So we know we living off the mercy and the blood of Jesus Christ. That's his love, because he could have did us like he did them back then. Back then, God didn't waste no time. Shout no more. He ever got rid of that. He went down. He couldn't find nobody but Lot and his wife. And she ended up turned to a field of salt. Then God got rid of all of them, children and all. People don't believe God get rid of children, your seed too. They don't know who he, they don't know what they're dealing with when you're dealing with God. You're consuming fire. And then people don't know that side of God. They think he's not right. He's not righteous to love. God love us enough. He could have been got rid of mankind. He love us so much. Look how he let the sun shine, even though they covered up every day with their chemtrails. And we mess up his plan. He loves us just that much. That's the mercy of God. When you woke up every morning, you got breath in your body, and you can take another breath, that's his mercy and grace there. Come on, I love you anyway. When God sent his word, he could have let you get down in sin. He'll send a preacher like me or you, or somebody will send a track, or a radio broadcast, or a gospel song to tell you, come on in. And so that's why people ain't going to have no excuse. When they come before God, God's going to bring every broadcast, every radio song you heard, every train you saw, how you rejected him. I guarantee every man that died, God gave them a chance, and they rejected. And so, you know, God is a merciful God to all of us. Even since we've been saved, we didn't do it all right. God with us then. And so I know God merciful. More patient than we got. But the way man be doing,
right.
I probably would have been to him. Because he made me hot when they be coming up the sun. And you can tell the difference between God clouds are like cotton balls, and theirs are like cigarette smoke. They constantly spread, covering the sun up. What if God was nasty and said, I ain't going to get out of no more sun, no more moon? Man, we'd be in trouble. What if God said,
right.
y'all don't want me no more? Y'all give my hair back. You don't need to be friends with this. Man would have a chance if God took his breath out of their body. Nothing on this planet, not even the angels. If God said, I'm tired of everything. I'm sick of all the angels. He can kill them too. Ain't the devil. He know it. That's why he's scared. That's why he acting like a fool now. He's no terrible because he know God can do that to him. God could have been killed, Lucifer. But he gave him mercy and grace too to do what he's doing.
That's
because
right.
He's doing. He's working according to his will. He's working according to God's schedule. God is. I've heard a man of God say one time, he said, God like this. He said, God is the Godfather with a gun in his hand and the devil is the bullet. I'm going to leave that with you.
Lord. Hallelujah.
Ooh,
he's awesome, mighty God.
And he's merciful, man. God is merciful to us.
Yes.
He's merciful.
Yes,
he is. He's loving. He's kind.
Yes, he is.
The earth is his footstool. God, if people don't know the mercy of God, when they hear the word of God, and they think you judge, and that's God coming to you. Don't look at that man of God. Look at the spirit of God. See, people don't know about the spiritual realm. God coming to you in that man. I tell you, come on in. You don't know when your time going to run out. The Bible says, appoint another man to die, and that's their judgment. And see, devil done fooled the whole world. Thinking that they got time. No, our time running out. He's trying to hold us long enough, keep us in sin long enough, keep us playing with sin. And then before we can take our last breath, we'll lose our soul, right in the church and in the world. Because we don't realize the love of God is trying to call us out of sin and call us to repent. I love you. I got to get that out. I'm trying to drive the truck too hand-free.
Thank you so much. That is so powerful. Love you more.
You're all right.
You're all right. You're sharing. You're talking about God. That's fine. But you see what's happening in Mecca? I'm sure you've seen that, what happened in Mecca. And hundreds of thousands of Muslims are converted to Christianity. And you see the wind, the very thing that they're going to worship in, that the Mecca was, the rock, the wind took that canopy thing that they got make up there and blew it down the street. I mean, the thing is
thousands of pounds. But it showed them how powerful the God that they rejected is. Blew that thing, they call it the cable. They call it the cable. And the wind took it up and threw it down the way. Then several days they were worshiping. They go counterclockwise around thing. They had the locusts. The locusts came by the millions. Then another day, another bug, some type of creeping bug, by the millions. They couldn't worship in that place. Just to show them how powerful God. They say that they're having visitations from Jesus. Thousands of them have converted. They're having fussing with one another now over their God. They said Jesus is the real God. They come into the light because he is powerful. He's powerful and he knows what to do. But I thank you so much. Thank you so much for sharing today. We'll be on tomorrow at 12 o'clock. The Lord say the same. Well, the line is open. If anyone else want to come on in, if not, we're going to ask Minister Jones to pray us out.
Yes, sir. Yeah, God is, he's walking the earth, man. And see, America, we next. God for the visit America soon. He's going to visit us, man, because we've been walking. America got full of pride and arrogance. And we think we untouchable. But God's going to deal with us. He's doing it already. We've been shaking, but we're finna see some stuff here just and like we never seen before, Apostle. But I love you. I'm going to pray, Apostle.
Yeah. Go ahead and pray.
Your Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you for your word and your promise and your patience. Heavenly Father, you are patient, you're sovereign, you're holy, you're righteous. The earth is your footstool, the foot thereof. There's nothing that can come under you, God, that you don't know about. You control everything, even the evil ones, God, and the fallen ones. You have in control. Your power is greater than any man can ever fathom in his mind. But we thank you, Lord, for your mercy, grace, your word, and your promise. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your love towards mankind. That you sent your son, Jesus. You have many names, Yahshua HaMashiach, Yahweh. And many names, but Lord, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. You said every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Lord, you said in your word, in 14:16, no man can come to the Father, but through Jesus is the way. There's no other way but through him. Lord, we thank you for the way through your son. Thank you. But Lord, you could have got rid of us, but you sent your son. I thank you for your mercy and grace over my life. I don't deserve nothing. I'm nothing without you. Can't make it without you. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to help us to get close to you. Lord, you say in your word, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under your shadow. Help us to abide under your shadow. Help us to get in that place. Help us to get rid of every spot, regular and blemish, and sin, sickness, whatever it may be, God, that we can get in that place with you, that we can be used by you. God, bring deliverance, God, for those, God, that went into repentance today. God, as he called out repentance through your word, God, continue, Lord, help them to find you. He said, steps of a good man are ordered by you. God, help them to order their step, God, they can find the word they need, Lord, to continue walking in your word and your grace. God, help them, Lord, that they can be able to receive your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, Lord. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray for every nation across the world, God. God, we continue praying for Africa, Israel, Haiti, Jamaica, Barbados, God, and all the other countries, Lord, all across the world that need your strength. God, Lord, praying for the innocent, Lord, that they continue to find you, Lord, while you call and you're sending your hand. And why the door is still open, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for the homeless, those that don't have a place to stay, a shelter, Lord. God, we ask you to make a way, God, for them that need food and shelter, Lord. Those mothers that are out with their children out on the street, those vets, Lord, that are out on the street living in tents, Lord. Make a way, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. You don't know what you're doing. Lord, those that are crossing the borders, God, crossing the seas, trying to find freedom for their families, Lord. Keep them in the name of Jesus. God, keep us, Lord, with your blood and your power. Cover us from sickness and disease, the pest that's in the air, and the genocide that's been plotted against us, Lord. Keep us with your power and your blood. We plead the blood of Jesus against everything and every tactic that the enemy trying to do against us. God, even the attack on the apostle, count of the body. We plead the blood of Jesus, God. We ask the sickness to come out of his body in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. We speak healing over his body. We speak miracles and blessings. And favor over his body. And every man and woman of God and everyone on this radio broadcast, God, we speak healing and favor in the said, what if we loose on earth, you'll loose in heaven. You said, what if we bind your mind? So we loose your power. We loose your anointing. We loose your delivery. We loose your favor, God, in our life, God. And we'll do your will. Help us to do your will. Help us to pray your will. Help us to walk in your will. Cover us with your blood. Give it on traveling mercy. They're traveling on the highways this weekend and for their family. Keep them, Lord. There'll be no accident, no fatalities. No running into the laws, Lord. Cover them with your blood. Keep their hands. Keep their family. Keep their children. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we forever bless your name and give your name the glory, honor, and Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Mr. Freddie, the young man. Your family safe and secure. And have a happy holidays. I know we're going to talk again and we're going to hear you again, but we pray God protect you while you're out there. Protect each and every one of us in the mighty name of Jesus. God bless you. Have a blessed evening. You all be safe. We'll talk to you all tomorrow. We come on at 12 o'clock tomorrow and pray the Lord allow us to deliver the message as always. Have a blessed day.